The Air Force will shift Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel's five-year plan to reduce headquarters staff into overdrive. Federal Times reports the branch wants to cut more than 20% of its HQ workforce by next summer, not 5 years from now. Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners and publisher of the Week Ahead newsletter. And Larry, you're writing about this in the newsletter this week. There's some potential implications here for contractors who do business with the Air Force, I imagine.
Well, there are implications, Francis. And while sometimes people like me try to find the silver lining in reductions in spending, I'm not sure that there's a lot of silver in this particular cloud, because I think that the cuts, at least as described by the Air Force Secretary, are going to come just as much from the contractor workforce as they are from both the civilian and uniform parts of the Air Force. So I think everyone's going to feel the pain, and they're going to feel it on an accelerated basis. This is not a what-if proposition, and people tend to say, well, you know, some government agencies lose their resolve over a five-year period or priorities change. That's true, but when you shorten the time frame to 1 year, yeah, that's less likely to happen.
The report that you cited from Fed Times in your newsletter this week says the service branch will trim active duty numbers throughout the force by nearly 17,000 in FY15 and an additional 2,000 cuts in fiscal 2016. So they're going down, they're getting smaller all the way around. I mean, it's not just an issue of the contracting workforce, the acquisition workforce, or this part or the other part. I mean, they're getting smaller all over the place. How will this make your life different if you do business with the Air Force on an ongoing basis, or you're trying to do business with the Air Force on an ongoing basis?
Well, I think it's probably going to be similar to what Army Deputy Assistant Secretary Henry Halleck has said, and that is, look, we're going to still be buying some of the things that we've always been buying. We're just going to be buying less of them. They may stop buying some things altogether, but for the most part, they're just going to be doing less of what they have been doing, which means for contractors, it's going to be that much more of a competitive landscape. If you're a contractor, for example, that's used to doing business in the task order level of around $200,000 to $500,000, you know who your competitors are. Well, now you're going to be getting some competition from people that are used to playing in the $500,000 and above marketplace, because there are going to be fewer of those opportunities for those larger companies to bid on. So what business there is going to get very tight.
Is there a way to start planning for that now? Are there things that I should be doing to get ready for that, even though nobody's really sure exactly who's going where in that 20% cut?
Well, that's a really good question, Francis. And for guidance on that, I would actually back out for a minute and look at some of the other things that the Air Force has said, which is particularly in this case, driving more opportunities towards smaller firms. So if you're a larger or medium-sized business, forming some strategic alliances with smaller firms is going to be something that's very important to you to do, because they could end up being some of your saviors as they drive business and the Air Force gives them contracts that you might be able to sub on, rather than the other way around, which may have been the more traditional response. So that, and the fact that, look, if you know that the Air Force is a big buyer off of certain indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contracts, you either want to have a presence on them or team you up with somebody who does.
So it sounds like there's a lot of research involved here, and the big companies can afford to do that research. They can devote resources to that. Some mid and size and smaller companies, though, it strikes me, don't have the ability to do that. How do you go about gaining that business intelligence? I'm not suggesting shortcuts, but are there streamlined or economical ways to go about doing that?
Well, I think there are. One is that, look, all business sizes will host business fairs and partner fairs. That's something to look at. The other thing, Francis, not that you set me up for this, but I'm a big believer in free media and free sources of information. And, you know, one of the best, frankly, is Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. You can get a lot of good business intelligence about the Air Force or other agencies from some of those free sources. So I recommend to all of my clients that they make adequate use of those.
I'm grateful for that, but that does sound for all the world like I set you up to say that, Larry. I mean, I didn't, but it sure does sound like I threw that out there. All right, the another item in your week ahead I wanted to take up, and that is your interpretation of 18F at the General Services Administration. Doesn't sound like you're a fan quite yet.
Not yet. I mean, one thing I'll say about Administrator Tangerlini is that he has a very clear vision for what his agency wants to be. And like it or not like it, you can't grade him off for being mysterious. One of the things that he wants to do is to make GSA a technology incubator. And while some people, myself included, may feel that that puts a government agency in direct competition with industry, others are going to say, well, you know, this is going to be an innovative hub. Maybe we ought to get in on it. And certainly GSA is reaching out to the private sector in terms of looking for partnerships and looking for input. Still left unknown is whether or not at a time when the agency doesn't have enough personnel and resources to go around to meet its core missions, whether investing scarce resources into something that is perhaps not a traditional government function, I think might bring some people to ask questions.
I think you've got a good point there, and I can't speak to that because I don't have the knowledge base, but I did have a chance to talk to Dave McClure and Lena Trudeau about 18F down at the Management of Change Conference, and I came away with that from those conversations. I'm not sold out for it or anything, but it does strike me that there are opportunities if companies are willing to get in the game and find out what they're doing. There are going to be opportunities for business there.
Well, no, there are, and clearly GSA has been making that message aware to industry, and I think they're getting some positive feedback, particularly from the more agile companies that can move quickly and may have some innovative things that the government might want to take a look at.
The other item that you're writing about is, I'll just read the headline because I think this is an interesting concept. We may all be in sales, but sales should not be in contract management. What are you getting at there, my friend?
Well, I think there's a tendency on the part of a lot of government contractors to have sales dominate all of their government business interactions. And certainly, look, I ran a successful association for 20 years. I've run my own business for 3.5 years. I understand the benefit of sales and the necessity of sales. So I would never say that sales aren't required. On the other hand, I never let my salesman set my policy interactions, and I never let my salesman set my membership prices, because, you know, they have a tendency, they have one thing that they're doing, and I have to take a broader view as the person who runs the operation. So I've seen lately in a lot of government contractors that they have good contracting people in their companies, but the salespeople never talk to them, and they're going off and making business management decisions that have implications for their contract. So the point of that article in my newsletter was, look, salespeople are important to an operation, but so too are your contract management folks. Each should be allowed to do their own job, and no one should really outweigh the other.
We're going to put a link to the newsletter at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, Larry, and a place where folks can sign up for it if they haven't already. I read it every week, and I always appreciate your insight, my friend. Thanks.
Thank you, Francis.